Is a continuation of a series of messages on the second coming of Jesus Christ by Dr. Glenn V. Tingley.
Opening our Bibles to Daniel 12:4. In Daniel 12:4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. While in California one time, my son-in-law said, I would like to have you meet an electronics engineer who works for General Dynamics. He gave a talk before a luncheon that created quite a sensation. It is a study in transportation. Then I had the privilege of going to his home and meeting James R. Ford. He impressed me with the facts concerning transportation in this world. His particular emphasis was on knowledge shall be increased. It will increase to the limit, or hit the top. Knowledge will be increased into infiniteness. In the light of that, he began his study on transportation. For almost 6,000 years, man had never gone faster than 25 miles an hour, and that was on the horses. Between 1850 and 1900, man doubled his speed by the steam engines, and he went 50 miles an hour. Some of you listening to me remember that. By 1918, it increased his speed to 130 miles an hour by early aircraft. By 1935, he traveled 350 miles per hour, which was a world record. In World War II, 1943, he went 530 miles per hour by prop planes and 600 miles per hour by German jets. By 1951, he went 1,254 miles per hour with the F-84F, and he came back alive. During 1954, he went 1,650 miles an hour in the Bell X-1A. In 1957, man traveled 2,200 miles an hour in a Bell X-2. In 1959, Mr. Ford prepared these facts, and he said that man would go 4,000 miles an hour in the Bell X-15, which was nearing completion. The Bell X-15 has officially gone 4,092 miles per hour. Pilot Walker has flown the plane up to 67 miles above the Earth and said that all he needed to do was to pull the nose of the plane up and he would go into orbit. He said that according to the present plans and the curve of the increase continuing, by 1961, man would go into orbit around the Earth at the speed of 1,800 miles per hour. Now, he said this to me before them. This has been accomplished since then by Russians and by Americans. The first man to accomplish the feat did so in 1961. He then said that, remember, this was in 1959, scientists and engineers had on their drawing boards plans for motors and materials for withstanding heat that would maintain the rate of increase. The main problem is getting man back into the atmosphere and to Earth without burning up. The materials necessary are now being made. The probable program for man on the moon or speed of 100,000 miles an hour will be soon. If this is increased, this increase is maintained, man will go 1 million miles per hour in the next step, 10 million in the next, and 100 million in the next, or 1/6 the speed of light within a comparatively near future. Now, my friend Mr. Ford said to me, isn't that knowledge being increased to the limit? The speed of light is the fastest thing in the universe. Have you ever noticed, I say to you, how the speed of light is associated with the coming of Christ? Listen to Matthew 4:24-27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Mr. Ford turned to me and said, do you think I am presumptuous in believing that the coming of Christ is close at hand? Oh, I assure you, friend of Radio Land, that the coming of Christ is close at hand. These signs all point to the end of this age. Judgment is at hand. A Russian scientist said at a committee meeting of the United Nations in New York that we must stop the population explosion or civilization will exterminate itself. I have better news for you than that. Jesus Christ is coming. The winding up of this age has its pains, but Christ will bring an end to them all by his glorious coming. Are you ready? In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Listen to Matthew 16:3. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him go. What a calamity for those who know him not. What a blessed release for his own. Blessed day. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Do you know Jesus Christ? I beg you to receive him, this Glenn Tingley saying until the next broadcast. Guide us. Please pray for us. Goodbye. God bless you, everyone. Opening our Bibles now, and I want you to open your Bible to several places, so I have a notebook and a pencil handy. I've been speaking to you in this series of messages about the coming of Jesus Christ. The first of Christ's future comings will be for the purpose of taking his saints out of the world. The Bible teaches this in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Greek word here for receive is the future first person singular. I take away by force. This passage literally reads, I will come again and take you away by force unto myself. Whom will he take away by force? John 4:1 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And Christ will come again and take away by force unto himself all who believe in him. That is, his saints who are looking for him. I have quoted in this series of messages many times, Acts 1:10 and 11. This confirms this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Yes, the Bible declares that Christ is coming again, and coming back with the very same body that he took up into heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18, we're told how Christ will come for his saints, both living and dead. Listen to it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When Christ returns to this earth after the tribulation with all his angelic forces, then every eye shall see him, as Revelation 1:7 declares. This verb, shall be caught up, means to snatch away quickly and suddenly, found here in 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is the exact meaning of the word rapture, which comes from the Latin word rapio, I seize quickly or suddenly. Notice in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in a field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. We know the one here taken away by force refers to the saints, because this is the very Greek word that Christ uses in John 14:3 when he says, I will come again and take you away unto myself. The verb here in John 14:3 is the future, first person, singular, and the very verb used each time in Matthew 24:40-41. This cannot be the wicked, because Revelation 11:18 makes this very clear. We're told that after Christ has judged his servants for reward, they will come and destroy those men destroying the earth, its enemies. If these persons taken away in Matthew 24:40-41 were sinners, Christ would have used the very same Greek word to express their taking away, as he used with regard to the sinners of Noah's day. For all sinners must go to the same place until after the millennium, which is the Hades. Now let's read Matthew 24:39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The verb here for took away is the aorist tense of a word that is nowhere used of the rapture of the saints. The one shall be taken away is the very same verb Christ himself uses in John 14:3 for taking away of the saints. To all Greek scholars, the use of these same verbs settles this question. And they know that for a certainty that Matthew 24, 40 and 41 refers to the taking away by force of the saints into the air. Luke 21, 34 to 36 also speaks of Christ coming for his saints. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day the awful tribulation come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that should come to pass and to stand literally in the presence of the Son of Man. Notice the word escape, it literally means to escape clean away from. Listen, friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. Soon, are you ready? This is Glenn Tingley saying, get ready. Until the next broadcast, goodbye. God bless you, everyone. Opening our Bibles to Luke 21:36. I want the verse literally as the Greek has it. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape clean away from all these things. Now I pause to say that these things are the tribulation things, just when about to come to pass and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. This then is a clear warning to Christ's saints to be ready for his coming, as he purposes to take them clean away just before the awful tribulation occurs, which is to cover the whole inhabited the earth. The aorist infinitive, here linked with the aorist passive infinitive, tells us as plainly as language can describe it that the very moment we escape clean away from the tribulation about to come upon the earth, that very same moment our transportation into the presence of the Lord will be a completed action. Space travel, friends, we've got it made. Paul tells us that Christ is coming for his own in Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, a better translation is, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for. We're waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul tells us of our Lord's coming for his saints, both living and dead. Listen to it now. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody says, yes, but that's the last trump. I beg your pardon. The group says the trump of the last days. That is the trump that introduces the last days. The trump that presents the last days, that starts them. That's when we'll be caught out. I don't believe I'll be here for the tribulation. This is also the plain teaching of Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, literally, trial or testing, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Ephesian church was the only church to obey the command, "Go ye into all the world, making disciples, baptizing, teaching. This is the word of my patience." Until the Philadelphian church organizing, and they organized both home and foreign missionary societies. We know the Ephesian church was a great missionary church and obeyed Christ's last great commission, because Paul says, Colossians 1:23, "This gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister." "Because thou" refers to the members of the Philadelphian church. This Philadelphian church will be here right up to the very moment of this great tribulation, which is to cover the whole inhabited the earth. And as it is about to begin, the Philadelphian church will be caught out of the world. Hallelujah. For Revelation 3:10 literally reads, "I also will keep thee from," or away from, "the hour," or the time, "of trial, being about to come upon the whole inhabited earth, to test or try them dwelling upon the earth." Christ will not have his Philadelphian church in the world at the time, the hour of this great tribulation, which is to cover the whole earth. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have the letters to the seven churches. While these letters were written to seven different churches of the first century, these churches represent seven periods of church history from the time of Christ to the rapture of the church. The chief characteristic of each of these seven church periods is revealed by the name to each of these churches. I want to give you in the next broadcast the study about these seven churches. Let me just deal with Ephesus now. The word Ephesus means "I send forth upon." During this period, the church sent forth missionaries upon the whole world, heathen world. This was the great missionary period of the church from the time of Christ to about 100 A.D. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, God so wonderfully moved that people out of every nation under heaven at that time heard the gospel. 3,000 of them went out as missionaries, paid their own support, for they had their own businesses. And today, in various parts of the world, we find remains of the churches that they started. The largest church in India, for instance, is the church started by St. Thomas. Friend, I announce to you the coming of Christ for his church very soon. Are you ready? Receive him. Surrender to him. This is Glenn Tingley saying, until the next broadcast, goodbye. God bless you, everyone.
Turn the tape over at this time.
Opening our Bibles to the book of Revelation,